I too enjoyed the lunchtime, the natural food and the fellowship. And you know, we live in a world. Jesus prayed that God would not take us out of the world, but he would keep us from the evil. This afternoon, I'd like to speak about maintaining mastery over our electronic devices. This morning we talked about the addictive nature. We looked at some of the ways that they like to grab our hearts. And now I'd like to talk about maintaining mastery and how to be able to use these things, how to be the master of them, not the servant. When I was a boy, we had 9 acres where I grew up. My parents raised goats. I grew up on goat's milk. And my father is a cripple. He had polio, and so his left leg is in a brace. And so his walking was a little poor at times. We had a billy goat that became a nasty billy goat. He had long antlers, and he would charge. And it got to the point one time where he charged my dad, and my dad was unable to wrestle the billy goat, but my dad was wise enough to get a hold of the horns, and the billy shoved him up against the wall, and we boys rescued dad. And the decision was made that night that billy goat must go to the auction. And so we did. But we boys were pretty small, and we were scared of this billy after that event. So we got a neighbor who was a big boy. Older than us, but he was husky, and he was able to help us to get the billy goat onto the truck, cattle racks on the truck, and we chained this billy tight because we were afraid he would charge. Whenever he was tied up, he would charge, and we were afraid he would break the cattle racks, so we chained his head like close to the cattle racks, and we took him to Roots. And when we got to Roots Market, the fellow who was in charge of like unloading him and tying him next to the building there where they tie the goats, he laughed. He said, "Take all those chains off." He said, "This is a mean billy. He'll charge you. Let's take all those chains off. I've handled them before." So we crawled up the outside of the cattle racks and we undid the chain from outside. And that billy, as soon as he had freedom, looked around, and the man had opened the back gate. And there the man stood, and the billy charged him at eye height and full speed. And the man with his left hand grabbed one of his horns, and with his right hand he grabbed his beard. And that billy got big beady eyes and followed him right to the chain. There was no fight left. He tied him on the chain and then backed up as far as the chain would go and then left go of him and said, "Now the next man can figure out how to control that fellow." See, in our dealings, we had a hold of the billy by the horns, and that's his power, that's his fight. But apparently, the tender skin under the chin, there's no fight left there. He had mastery over that billy by where he got a hold of him. I wish this afternoon it would be as simple as telling you where to get a hold, what the handle is, and now you got it. It's not that simple. I appreciated some of the comments here in relation to the heart. You know that a hammer is a very, very dangerous device. Do you realize that a murderer with a 16 or 20 ounce claw hammer in his hand, a claw hammer is deadly? But we probably didn't think about it because we use them for framing. But the hammer is not the problem. It's the heart of the man who holds the hammer. Now you know where that goes with the phone. The phone is not the problem, but the heart of the man or the lady who holds the phone. It has been said that if a man is faithful today, it's because he chose to be faithful by the help and grace of Jesus Christ and by that relationship, but it's what he chose to be. Some years ago, we tried to help a lady who came to know the Lord. She had a smoking habit. I believe she died a saved lady. But she could hardly break the smoking habit. And so we told her that When you're tempted to buy cigarettes, call one of us ministry. We'll pray with you. But sometimes she'd go to get gas at the service station and she would buy cigarettes. And I distinctly remember one time a fellow minister said, "But why didn't you call us?" And she said, "Because I wanted the cigarettes." No plan, no minister's well laid how this is supposed is going to work. If you want the cigarettes, you're going to get them. In that lady's experience, I believe the Lord allowed her to get sick, a deathly sickness. When she recovered from that, having been in the hospital for several weeks, she recovered from that minus cigarettes, and the habit was broken. She had poor health after that and eventually died. I believe she died a saved woman. Maintaining mastery over our devices. First point of this afternoon's message is from Psalm 101, verse 3. The psalmist says, "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me." One of the huge problems we have with technology is the whole wicked industry of immodesty and pornography. And that is a huge industry, and it pulls not just men's hearts, but women's hearts at times. But so as a child of God, the point is this: as children of God, we may not set our eyes on wickedness. That's one of the things. To maintain mastery of our devices, we must understand that to be a man or woman of God, we may not feast our eyes on wickedness, in whatever form that is. So we have accountability in our group, I told you this morning. And we have a little questionnaire that we fill out. We meet and talk about the questions. Are you, you know, using the net and internet for unrighteous purposes? And are you a number of questions that forms a little bit of a pattern where we talk about it as brethren. And we had a man who was members with us there who is blind. And he came to me after an announcement about this and he said, "Do you want me to fill out that? Do you want me to be part of accountability?" And suddenly I realized a blind man is not tempted with pornography. What a blessing. Maybe more of us should be blind. But I got to tell you something about old Lucifer. Sometime afterward, that young man confessed that he was listening to audible stories of those kinds of things. So there's wickedness for blind people too. That's because Lucifer is Lucifer. And he is intent on stealing our hearts, even if you're blind. And so you can't get away from it if you pluck your eyes out. You've got to have the heart right. Well, so we may not set our eyes on wickedness. I believe that it's important in whatever level that we do this, whether it's on a family level or a church congregational level, I believe that there is great value in talking about what we're doing and victory or lack of victory and finding release and forgiveness when we fail. Quite a few years ago, I had a friend who grew up in another church setting where they were not allowed recorded music. And so you couldn't have tape players in those days or cassettes. And as we grew into adults and he left that setting, and we were talking about church rules and how this works. And he told me, he said, "Well, the rule that we were not allowed recorded music did not mean that young people did not listen to recorded music. It only meant the preachers couldn't teach us what was good music." See what happens sometimes, and I'm not saying I'm part of a group where we have some rules, but I understand that rules will not change a heart. And rules will not do anything for a carnal heart. And sometimes carnal hearts rest in meeting a letter of the law and miss the God of heaven. And that's something we have to be fair with. whether we have rules or we don't have rules. Satan is deceptive enough to help us to find ways to try to get around the God of the heaven and serve the world. And so, the ability to talk about it instead of a closed door that we don't have it. I believe groups who say no internet and any of that and close the door tight, they really, fathers still need to talk to their sons like as though they have it, because you can get junk at the library. In our early days, when internet was coming on, we said that internet could only be used in an office environment, business office environment. So I was teaching school and I didn't have it. So I would go to the library. And one time at the library, there was a bad girl on the computer next to there. And I forget exactly what all happened, but I was uncomfortable because she pulled up some things that she ought not have pulled up. And there I was. So supposedly it was safer for me to be in the library getting it than to have it at home. But there I was, alone with a wicked girl. And so there's snares in that. But the point is, we may not set our eyes upon wickedness. We must have that commitment of heart like Daniel. I will not defile myself. We must be talking. We must be real with it. Because even if we outrule it, there is often access somewhere. And even flip phones, I'm told, I haven't really tried this, but can go places we should not. In fact, I'm told by some of our techie people that actually a smartphone you are able to lock down and control and configure and have accountability apps and things on it better than a flip phone. I can't verify that. But the Bible principle is we must not set our eyes upon wickedness. And we have to have that settled in our heart, because God sees us day in and day out. You can't get away from God. And he knows what we're looking at. Second point of this morning's message, I'd like you to go with me to 1 Corinthians. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 6 and one in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 6. I wonder what the Apostle Paul would say if he were here today in this church service and he were carrying a smartphone. I didn't say would he or would he not carry a smartphone. That would be a question too. But here's what Paul would say, I'm convinced. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 6, 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now you might say, well, that would cut out the smartphone. What Paul is saying, there's a lot of things that are needful. There's a lot of things that are lawful. There's some things that I will cut off because it is not so helpful for me. And so I think Paul would have a smartphone and he'd have it clipped down to what he needs, and he would cut out the things that would stumble him, because all things are lawful. It's not wrong to have some social media app or something. But it's not expedient. It's taking too much of my time. I'm free from it. I'm going to keep it for what? It's more purposeful. And he says, I won't be brought under the power of any. So how much am I under the power of it? That's a question that spiritual minds ought to be rolling over and thinking about. And answering it honestly in your own experience, and then making whatever adjustments you need to make so that you're not brought under the power of it. The power to take you where you should not go. 1 Corinthians 10. Well, see, this 1 Corinthians 6 is in the context of bodily desires and fornication. And 1 Corinthians 10 is in the context of idolatry, like we talked about this morning. The very story of idolatry. And this verse is almost identical. He says, 1 Corinthians 10, 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And so he was focused on this thing that I don't want to be brought under the power of something that will take me wrong. I don't want to be wasting my time in stuff that doesn't edify. How much of that, what I do with the phone, would get whacked out? Those are tests. Those are commitments that we ought to have as people of God, Does it edify? Is it? So many times we get lost in this point of, well, it's not wrong. Paul said there's a whole bunch of stuff that's not wrong. You got to weigh some other values. Is it expedient? Is it helpful? Is it edifying? Is it bringing a wrong power on me? Instead of wrestling with, does the Bible forbid it or not? There's a whole power of things that the Bible doesn't outrule, but you need to think about some other things. What's it doing to me? So this point is we must seriously consider the impact that our devices have on us. And that's the thought we closed with this morning. The impact. We should really wrestle with this question. Am I okay with self-denial? It might be okay for you to have that. I don't need to be critical that you have it. But for me, I cut it off because of the commitment like Paul had. And we should be able to live with that. Brought under the power of anything. Brought under the power of electronic devices. You know, I illustrated for you this morning the power of advertising and Lancaster Farming, and that we purchase your attention. And the brother talked about purchasing data from us, like following us, knowing locations and building maps and knowing what people do, and the power to motivate responses from us, power to influence our thinking and dominate our time, power to change our values, our priorities, our focus, power to change our circle of friends and their influence or our authority. Paul said, all things edify not. Some things are just lightheartedness and foolishness. Why would we waste time and energy on that? Some things distract from good personal values. Some things take us away from our jobs or influence us to steal time from our boss because we were goofing around on our phone. Now, so we must seriously consider the impact that our phones have on us. One of the ingredients of emotional health is the ability to keep your mind where your body is. It's a little complex, but it's real life. So here you sit in this service, and I'm speaking to you, but your mind can leave. One of the things that technology has done for us is made all kinds of avenues to pull our mind elsewhere. I find this as a bishop trying to work in a store, and I get a message maybe from another fellow bishop, and there's a need, and it's a dire need, and somebody wants to buy a pressure washer, and so I'm here, and I have this other huge need a couple states away, and after a while, I question my own sanity. See, in olden days, news came slower, and I don't know exactly how that was, and I'm not just here to say, let's go back to the good old days, but what I am here to say is that we must seriously think about the impact that our devices are having on it. And how do you do this? My wife, sometimes we're riding somewhere to church, and the children are chattering and whatever, and I'm quiet. And she says, are you with us? I think you're 1,000 miles away. She knows a problem going on. Yeah, I am. The ability to say, okay, this is family time. And yeah, this is a good spiritual thing that needs to be tended to, but sometimes something else is the focus of the hour, and you have to be able to do something about it, make some choices, and it's not always easy. The impact of our devices. I want you to think about this, adults especially. Young people, you can think about this. It might be happening to you, but I'm not saying it is. I'm going to talk to the adults. I'm going to talk to the 30, 40, 50-year-olds. I want you to think about this. When you were a young person, and you wanted to go away some Saturday night, and your dad said no, and you were really upset. Spiritually, you weren't what you should have been. And you ended up sitting in your bedroom, upset. But all you have is the four walls of your bedroom. Your dad and mom are down in the living room. It's just the four walls of your bedroom. And there you sit. And of course, the Holy Spirit was at work as well. How much different would your experience been if in that state of disappointment, you could have texted your other buddies who struggle with their dads too and talked about how dumb your dad is for this rule and how upset? What kind of impact would have that had on your life? And then you, as fathers, we need to think about it. What we're doing when we hand our children phones, it will have an impact. It's lawful. It's legal. The Bible doesn't say you can't have it. I think as parents, we need to figure out how to be connected to our children, that they don't storm off by themselves in their bedroom stewing, but that we sit and talk through those things. That's the ideal. But we full well know that sometimes children end up in some quiet moments, a little upset trying to sort through life, and they need some quietness with the Holy Spirit, especially those that are accountable, to work through some things. Well, so we must consider the impact that our devices have. We must understand, number three, we must understand that curiosity and inquisitiveness can lead us astray. Do you remember what Paul said about the Athenians and strangers which were there? They spent their time in nothing else but to tell or to hear some new thing. There's a lot of Athenians. You know what? If the Athenians were around here today, they would have smartphones and they would have every social media app, and they would have the most posts because that's what they spent their life doing. And Paul said, that's not a good thing. And that's led you, but he used that inquisitiveness. He used where they are in their experience. And then he said, let me tell you about the God of heaven. And so he started from where they were. But we must understand that curiosity and inquisitiveness or fascination can lead us astray. I believe that one of the things that's happening, I know that it has happened in my experience. When the internet was first available, it was so much of a draw and so much of a fascination. And being a school teacher and all the things you could learn, it's just wonderful. From history things, you could bring extra things into the classroom. It was so fascinating. Well, since it's been available to me, since I've used it, I've gotten to the point where it's not so much of a fascination anymore. It's a tool that's available that I'm not saying I'm never fascinated with it, but the fascination has gone down, and I go to find something specific that I need, and I come back and bring it there. And I think that's a safer place to be. Somehow to help children and youth get over the fascination and get beyond, because that fascination and curiosity really has a negative impact on us. Romans 16:19, I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Curiosity, inquisitiveness can lead us astray. That gossip, the busybody problem, phones can help us on in that problem. News that troubles us, we can't change it, but we're curious what's happening around us. There's false beliefs out there, there's untrue ideas, and there's conspiracy theories. I believe as God's people, we have gotten too connected to wrong ideas in the world. I say that to myself, and you can listen in. May I be specific? Tucker Carlson is interesting to read because I connect with a lot of common sense that Tucker Carlson has. But I want to tell you something. He is a man of the world's system. And it is hard when reading Tucker Carlson not to buy the wrong things from his views. Okay? That's just one. I'm not picking on him. But see, we must understand that curiosity, fascination, inquisitiveness can lead us astray. Well, sometimes the knowledge of evil increases our temptation. So you read a news article about some bad deed that somebody did, and now you know how to do that bad deed in some ways because you read about it. It's one of the reasons why I struggle when people confess sins. As a leader, sometimes it's pretty, yeah, we pray for the grace of God, because sometimes I'd have been better off not knowing that that's even something that somebody's tempted with. And so, we need the power and grace of God. Number four, we must remember that good relationships are built on face-to-face interactions. Good relationships are built face to face. Even the world recognizes that. Salespeople, there's a lot of digital media, there's a lot of that stuff going on, but really, the face to face interaction, there's so much power in that. There's so much there in building relationships. Social media is unreal and distant. I heard a preacher recently say that social media has brought about the Goldilocks syndrome. See, Goldilocks, what did she do? She tried Papa Bear's soup and Mama Bear's soup. Papa's was too hot, Mama's was too cold, and baby's was about right, right? See, social media has allowed you to, like, well, that one, I don't quite, and you can pick and choose, and you can get a circle of friends that's about the right, what you want. They're distant enough that you can't really, you can control it, and you can zero in, and this is where I'm comfortable, and cut off the rest. Misunderstandings are much more common when communicating electronically. We need to see each other's faces. There's so much communicated with the face. That's why I struggled wearing a mask so long, because this is what happened to me. I went to the store, and when I came out to my vehicle to leave, somebody was parked really, really close to me. It was two ladies in there, and they were older, feeble, and I went to get in my vehicle, and I had to really squeeze to get in the door without banging their car. And they looked up at me really, really scared, like I was going to chew them out. And I smiled big at them, and they were fearful. And then I realized that smile did nothing because it was behind a mask. With that smile, their window was closed, so that, you know, I didn't say anything to them. But with the smile, I meant to say, you're okay. I'm not mad. But they couldn't see that. Face to face, and the communication that's there, and the body language that's there, the tone of voice. And electronic messages can be so quickly misread. With electronic messaging, there's the pressure to portray myself in the best light. You see, on Facebook and Instagram, we don't post sometimes somebody posts their most embarrassing moment, but most times it's the best and the nicest, and it's the truck when it's clean. We don't take a picture when it's all, well, maybe if we were mudding and that's what we want to highlight, but we don't put the everyday stuff on. We put the nice, what we want to, the image that we want to portray. And that's not always real to life. Face to face has so much value. So, and you know, there's a constant quest for approval and affirmation by my friends. And this is something that young ladies particularly struggle with. Young men do too, but we like to get out and rough and tumble and do stuff with our friends. But young ladies are really sensitive about social life and friends, and do they like me or don't they? And this approval and affirmation. And so maybe you have this WhatsApp chat, or and it goes silent for a while, and you can start to think, huh, they must have left me out. Maybe they're talking and they're not, you know, maybe they're messaging directly and they're not including me. And so there's this terrible pressure about what's happening. Face-to-face still has tremendous potential. Good relationships are built there. Put the phone down. Go pay someone a visit. With the brotherhood, we need in-person services. And I know some people are listening in. God bless you. And listening into the streaming. And that's fine. There's some sick ones. And there's some blessing in that. But I'll tell you something. There's nothing as good as face-to-face and shake a hand and smile and talk. And then, you know, if something hinders that and you take the electronic streaming, that's fine. You get a blessing as well. It's better than just doing nothing. But one of my fellow bishops, we say sometimes, you know, well, I won't be there, but I'll be there in spirit. And he says, well, we can't fellowship with spirit, so that doesn't count. And so, you know, don't even tell me that, because you're not adding anything with that. With this point, I would like to say that generally there's something wrong when we make out best with distant friends and can't hardly relate to close friends. When it goes hard in the brotherhood, but we have friends in other states that we're always talking to and whatever, something's wrong. The Christian life must be able to be lived out in the family where I am, and the church and the community. That's who sees my everyday life, and that's the test of spiritual life. Somebody was sharing a glowing testimony. Somebody with need. Somebody that was alienated from their church was showing, sharing a glowing testimony of someone who knows nothing about it. And that person came and talked to me and said, "He's such a good brother. Look at, listen to his testimony." I said, "Just tell him to go back to his family, to his sons, and live where they say he's a changed man, and live among those church brethren and in that community where they say the Lord got a hold of him. Then he's got a testimony." Face-to-face relationships. I remember distinctly the first time as a school teacher, the first time that a student, and I think he was a former student, I think he was already out of school, he sent me a text saying, "I'm sorry, Brother Luke, I cheated sometimes in school." Oh, that was like a bucket of cold water down my back. I was glad the boy had a conscience and he knew what to do with it. But that was an awful cheap confession, I thought. Maybe the day will come as all of this change and the acceptance electronic comes that we send confessions to a brother or to a priest, you know, like, "Look, you know, I have something to make right," and it's just done electronically. But you know what? Brothers, sisters, let's go face to face and say, "Look, here I am. I need, this is what I've done. I'm sorry I talked about you behind your back." It's awful cheap to just, there, and I've cleared it. God's heard that, and I'm not the judge of how all that went. There's just something that seems different than the heart of God. You know, God didn't send Jesus electronically to save our sins. He sent him in person to live among men to show the life and person of God through Jesus Christ. Number five, another point about maintaining mastery is we must take time for meditation. We could go through the Psalms and look at how many times a psalmist writer says, "I will meditate upon thy precepts. I will have respect unto thy ways." We need time for meditation. Bible reading and prayer, reflection on that and pondering. We need to meditate on the Word, the deep truths of the Word, the concepts of the Word. We need time to meditate on our lives and the challenges that we face and our tests. We need time to think about our family and the children and what is happening. You know, this is one of the things that I don't like about the retail industry. When I'm at the store, most of my energy is consumed by the flurry of activity in sales, and that's what we want. That's how you stay in business, by the way. But there, and it's from one, you know, from one challenge to next. Do we have that? How can we do it? Can we get it? And on and on. When I worked in servicing generators, I had a lot of time on the road and I had time to think and meditate. Think about, you know, what's, and think through that. We need time to think. Some time, I heard a brother say, we need time to just sit and look out the window and ponder deeply and let the Spirit talk to us. And it could be a variety of subjects that we're thinking about, but God can work in our lives. Meditation. And we could go to that picture I had here on the board earlier, that connection with God and that flow and that prayer and musing where the Holy Spirit. I hope you know what it's like for the Spirit of God to speak to your heart, to move you to do something. I hope you know what it's like to be in tune with God where you sense that, you know what, God would want me to do this. And that only happens as there's quietness and we wait and we sometimes in the flurry of life, God impresses something upon us. He can do that. But many times, it's the quietness and the meditation where God uses to touch our lives and direct us. Number six, and I'll share this point gingerly, and you'll understand why. But I believe with this whole thing of technology, we need to protect our worship services. Will the day come when we don't carry the blessed book, but we bring it only on our electronics? I know I'm 52, and you probably realize it by this point. But I'd just like to say something. What happens to me, it just happened right now, and it happened when we were in Ohio. When we were in Ohio, and I illustrated something, I opened my phone, and a message was there that I was really curious. And it was actually a message. It was on a bishop chat when John Risser was killed, a good friend of mine. And I saw, oh, there's something there. I just opened my phone, and there's something on the bench. My daughter has something. It says, "Oh, dear. Well, hopefully it's something that can easily be fixed." Okay? I assume she's talking about the car that broke down this morning, but I don't know, but I'm really curious. And that caught my attention right here in the church service because I pulled my phone out. Is it lawful? Yeah. Is it expedient? Is it power? Okay, I'll let you decide. But we must protect our worship services. We must think about what impact is it having. Maybe there's some adjustment. Maybe there's something that we should... Obviously, I have my technology in the service, and it's turned on, and I could see that little thing on the screen. We must protect our services. I believe that perhaps coming generations will just bring their Bibles on their phones, and that's it, and not carry the blessed book. But my personal opinion is, I don't have a verse to point you to, my personal opinion is something will be lost. There's something in the good old book, and I can't explain it. Maybe it's just my age that makes it that way. We must protect our worship services. See, perhaps we could say, well, we're just going to turn on airplane mode so no phones ring and we're not distracted. Maybe. Or will we say, it's okay. We have all kinds of things going. We have this focused distraction. How will we relate to that? So we need to think about what it does to our worship services. Is it okay to be sitting in a church service messaging my friend? How will the young people sitting on the back bench, struggling spiritually, messaging their young people, recording a point that the preacher made and sending it, oh, this is really stupid, this is really dumb. Maybe your young people don't ever struggle with those kind of things. What will it do? Number 7, we must be good stewards and know contentment. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you had. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Stewardship. Stewards of our time. Do you believe that we will answer to God for our use of our time? And what will God ask of us? What is God expecting me to do with the time that I have? Content with such things as you know that cell phones are designed to keep you buying the next one and the new one. I had an old Android phone years ago, and I made it last, I forget, I wish I knew how many years it was, but it was a lot of years. And then I couldn't buy the charger anymore for it, and so I upgraded, and I got an iPhone. And I told the young fellows at church, they were fascinated that the preacher got an iPhone, and I said that I want this one to last as long as my Android did. We'll see. And one of the young fellows, wise as ever, looked at me and said, Brother Luke, the designers of iPhone don't want you to use your phone more than 4 years or something. Then it's antiquated. They don't want you to use that. You will, if you get in the spirit, they'll help you replace it and get the newer version. I understand what he's talking about. You do too. It's no fun to pull out a relic of a cell phone. Somebody's like, what is that? Stewards. Online shopping. Oh my, stuff is just one click away. It was a Wednesday night. We were headed to church. I think my wife was driving because I was tired or something, and she took the wheel. And she was telling me she had one of the children to the doctor because they had a tick somewhere, and the doctor took this tick off. And the doctor said that if you go into the local pharmacy, you can find this little plastic thing that's called ticked off. It's a little plastic spoon with a little crack in it that you can go underneath of a tick. You can easily lift them off. It's called ticked off. And she's like, you know, I guess I have to go into Lebanon and see if I can find one of them so we have it, so we don't have to pay the doctor to do this. And I pulled out my phone. I went to Amazon. I typed in the search thing, ticked off, and there's this little plastic thing for $3.27. And I clicked add to cart. So I said, it'll be here in 2 days. Lawful? Nothing wrong with that, right? But then there's a temptation to buy stuff that we don't need. It's just a click away. Oh, that's nice, and this is neat, and this is a newer one. Here we go. And you can get into that whole shopping quest that I'm not happy unless I'm buying something. Stewards. What about buying on Amazon on Sunday? Well, maybe we looked at Lancaster Farming on Sunday and circled all the things that we wanted to call in the mailbox markets on Monday.
Well, is that wrong? Oh, this is the Lord's Day. What does God want from me on a Sunday? What about fellowship? What about church? What about fellowship? What about family, going to visit grandma? What about, you know, like, isn't the Lord's Day for the Lord and His values and spiritual? And what can we do with family and friends and brotherhood about blessing God and encouraging others on the Lord's Day? All right, let's just talk about some practical encouragements to help ourselves and our people to maintain mastery. Those are some of the Bible principles. Those are some things we need to think about that God calls us to. Now, in a practical way, what can we do? Number one, I already talked about this morning, and that is turn off notification beeps and buzzes. Avoid the dictatorship it brings when you feel you must check when they come in. I read this, that every notification that you receive, when it buzzes or beeps, it opens a loop that desperately wants to be closed now. Psychologists call this the Zeigarnik effect. And they talk about, and I think in my own experience this is true, they talk about the fact that you can remember a task that you started that got interrupted. You can remember to go back and finish it easier than you can remember a task that you finished. In other words, you set to do something and you finish it and you put it away and it's done. You're into something and you're interrupted and it hangs there. I got to return to that. And that's what these buzzes and beeps do. It starts this awareness of something there, and it can just, like, you know, boy, get done with this customer here. I got to check who needs me now. What, you know? The other night, 3 o'clock in the morning or something, my wife's phone buzzed. We tried to turn our buzzers off at night, but buzzed and like, I wonder who needs me at night. Well, you know, we have children and grandchildren, and you know, so go check. Nothing there. Must have been. Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe something came in an email that just really not that important. Middle of the night, checked our phone. If you turn those things off, you can be delivered from that pressure that comes. But if you turn them off, then maybe your children can't get a hold of you when something's going on. Number two, refuse to start your day with your electronics. Many people open their phone and check messages and emails within 15 minutes of waking. See, even church things, it's like this. In reality, if I get out of bed in the morning and seven people are lined up at my door, well, let's say three of them are at the front door and four of them are at the back door, and they're knocking on my door. When I get out of bed and they have a question for me, a legitimate question, and they'd like that question answered before I have my cup of coffee, wouldn't that feel a little intrusive? I wouldn't do that to my friends. But your phone will allow them to do that. Put those problems right on the front burner, right there for you. Before you got your cup of coffee, there, here, this, work, whatever. Is it wrong? It's pressure. It's there. And it can actually hijack your day. It can hijack your thoughts. Maybe as you awoke, God wanted to speak to you about something and prepare your heart on something, and this got all your energy. Instead of the moments of waking up, God, what do you want from me today? And prayer, but here's all this stuff right there. So maybe we need a little bit more time. Maybe we need just some quiet time with God. Do we allow all of those things to fill up our mind first? Another point, point number three, is I'm simply going to say mind the gaps. Resist the urge to check your phone or browse the news when you have a few free minutes. It's easy to, you know, get a few free minutes, get that phone out. Okay. But sometimes God would want to have a little of our attention for 3 minutes, a little slack spot. We got there for somebody to unload our load, and we got a couple minutes. Maybe there's some meditation and prayer time that we ought to do instead of grabbing the phone and going there where the phone wants us to go. So mind the gaps. At our place of business, our restroom facility is a little short, and so sometimes it gets clogged up. And our boss said, you know what, we got to put a sign there, no cell phone use in the bathroom, because it mind the gaps. There's we need to think about what we're doing with the little bit of downtime. It can actually be this way. You know, we talked about that focus distraction. It can actually be this day that our day is so full of the demands that come through doing business, and then we pick out our phone in those slack spots and the demands there, and we don't have any quiet time, few moments of rest and reflection. It's actually not even emotionally healthy to not have some moments of quiet reflection, even aside from spiritual life and vitality. Time to reflect and recharge. Time to pray. Why would we mindlessly waste those moments? Number four, another way to help us is to get off social media apps and circles as much as possible. And I know there's lots of those, and I know you can do a lot with that, and I know there's lots of friends. I've, in preaching this message at a couple places, I was amazed at how many young mothers talked about the deliverance they needed from these things, how much these things were taking their time and they were neglecting household duties. One mother told me this. She said, I pray daily that the voice of my children would ring louder than the sounds of my cell phone. And I said, God bless you, sister. That will take you to good places. Keep praying that. Is it lawful? Is it okay to have a circle of friends? Of course. And how many of those circles? So we particularly use WhatsApp in our group. We it's kind of a complicated thing, but we don't allow Facebook, but we do allow Facebook. And I don't want to waste time on that subject. But social media that has a home page where I can post my likes and dislikes and you can see my friends and you can follow me, that we've tried to avoid. But that's a complicated situation. So most of us, when we have social circles, it's on something like WhatsApp. So I have a bishop's chat. When there's a question, there's a need, you can put something on there, and the bishops in our circle can see that and can chime in. And it's actually pretty helpful. Sometimes it's a little question. Did you ever face this? Or what, you know, what have we done before? And there's a simple answer from somebody that, you know, this is what they did. Oh, that's a good idea. And it's very helpful. But so there's that chat can be going. And then there's a Benich family chat. Well, there's actually a my family chat. And then there's a larger Benich family, as in my brothers and sisters. Okay. And then there's a Rosenberry chat, my wife's family. And then there's, you see what happens? I'm on all of those circles, and they're enjoyable. But at some point, how many circles can you be a part of? And how many friends can you actually tend to? How many friendships can you actually, and how much can you absorb? How much mind energy do you have left to do the normal things of life? But friends is good, and connections is good. You see the complication of this whole thing? So we're talking about maintaining mastery. I've not been promoting cutting off these things totally. I'm saying we've got to weigh this as children of God and seek God's direction and will for our lives. And sometimes, you know, we must understand that maybe for me I have to cut something off that somebody else can. Maybe this is an overload. Maybe this season of life, I can't be doing that. I have little children, and I need to pull back from that. And we need to make those adjustments and make those choices, and God will bless that. And we can stand on our own two feet, as it were, with the help of God. Number five, another way, another thing to think about is we need to have some family time without electronic distractions. The agreement to put the phone down, mealtime around the table, or family worship, family time without the electronic distractions. Where we're here and we're all here, and there's some focus and there's some, you know, togetherness. And the last point I'd like to think about in maintaining mastery is let's keep some good old time values alive. And you can call me an old folk. But there's still a good value in reading a good book. Oh, well, I have it on Kindle. Yeah, that's a book. there's still a value in a good old book. Good old paper and ink. You know, one of the things, I do read my Bible sometimes on my phone app. And here the other year, I used a phone app to read the Bible through in a year because it keeps record of what you read. And so sometimes I would be reading for a message. I'd be reading in Isaiah a bunch of chapters, and that all counted, and I could tell where I was. So for that year, I used my phone a lot. But I really like to read out of this Bible because when I preach and I go to find something, I get this sense it's on this side of the page toward the top, and I have these markings around it when I'm going for something. And so that's one of the reasons why I like the good old book. But let's keep some old-time values alive. Even things like music and singing together, not just recorded and listening to it, but actually singing together. And I get after my daughters sometimes, and they do a good job of this. But, you know, we have the electronic devices, and they can, you know, songs are playing when they're doing the dishes, and that's fine. Good music selections. But sometimes you just need to turn those things off, and you just need to sing while you're washing the dishes. And you need to sing for family work. And it's not perfect. The people that you listen to would do it a whole lot better. Yes, they would. But some value in doing it. And there's a blessing in joining our voices. And you know, recently we were talking about this, you know, even when a singing group comes and sings for us, and we sit and we listen, when it's done, you know what we often say? Oh, you guys did good. That was good. I like that. Okay, when you have a song service and we all sing together, then what do we say after the service? I was blessed. I was touched by this song. Now, you can say that when somebody sang for you. I was really blessed with this song. That's true. But we need to think about the value of a brotherhood or of a family sitting around singing. That's a good old-fashioned value that we need to keep up. At our house, we have the tradition on a Saturday night that we actually get out songbooks and we sing. Every Saturday night for family worship, we sing. But then we have an electronic side to this. My wife's folks live at Chambersburg, and they're older and are not able to enjoy that kind of singing in their older years. So we call them whenever it works. We call them on the phone, and we set the phone in the sender on a chair, and we sing, and they listen in electronically. Mastery over our devices. There's things you can use your phone for that bless God's kingdom. But don't walk away from some of the good old values. Learn to keep those things alive in the middle of using electronics. And figure out ways to use the electronics to bless. You know, here, what was actually on the way out to those meetings in Ohio, I was traveling out through. Brother Tim Kreider was in Mexico for cancer, and they were going to do a surgery, and something was not working. He had to go back into surgery. I got this message from his wife that he's in bad shape, going back into surgery, and the next half hour something was really critical. Well, she was in the hospital. I couldn't call to her. She said she wouldn't have her phone on in that there. And they're the family, and I can't go to them that fast. I mean, it's just, this is happening, and there they are alone. And so on WhatsApp, I prayed for the family, send a message, the prayer. I prayed while driving I believe it was coming back from Ohio, because on the way out, I had another brother with me on the way back. I was by myself. I prayed this prayer on WhatsApp. It felt kind of weird to pray a prayer on WhatsApp, but it really blessed the family to hear me pray for them. And she could only get it after the surgery because she didn't have her phone. And you know, sometimes those things feel strange to us, right? But listen, Satan's using those things to get stuff into our lives. We can use those things too for God's kingdom and for caring one for another if we think about it. Keep some old time values alive. Things like physical games together with the family and with our youth group. A good old game of softball. You can't replace the value of that by some little gadget that you play electronically. You can't. The give and take, the physical exercise, the memories that you make. Even dumb things that happened during softball and somebody slipped and fell and all that. There's something wonderful about just a good game together. Things like backyard farming, gardening, animals, vegetables, bird watching, tree and plant identification. Oh, I know, you can get Google Lens. And so, well, I was with a group of us ministers somewhere, and there was came out from this building, and there's this tree, and there's a snake at the tree. I'm like, ooh, what for snake? And so one of my fellow bishops, he opened his phone, he went to Google Lens, and he took a picture of it, and it right away identifies such and such a snake that it is. And yeah, there's just no end to what's out there to help us. But don't get so fascinated with those things that we get drawn into that electronic world that we don't realize there's actually trees and flowers and birds and creation and blessing God as we look at them. I love to study stars and look at the stars of heaven. And now you can get apps where you can open the star map and you can point toward the sky and identify the stars that you're looking at. And it makes stargazing really, really easy. You can tell what you're looking at. There it is. Well, may God help us today. Hopefully these two messages have helped us to think through what we're doing from God's perspective, from the voice of the Bible, from the Holy Spirit within us directing us, living in the world but not of the world, not taken out of the world but kept from the evil. What does that mean for the technology around us? Hopefully it has whet our appetite. I must tell you, though, that this subject changes so rapidly, so fast, that we must be continually alert to what God wants us to do, to be where God wants us to be. And you can't hardly nail anything down solid today, because tomorrow it could change and be something totally different. Perhaps, and this is one of the things that bothers me about technology, it seems like the things that we accept as a church, we almost never back up and say, nah, we shouldn't accept that. Let's cut it out. But if we have opened up to something that is too hurtful, too harmful, a way of Satan, let's be men and women of God enough to be able to talk about it and say, you know what? We would be best to back up. I'm not so sure where all this COVID and all, there's a system at work that's leading us. I'm not going to say that this is part of the mark of the beast, but I want to tell you something. The beast knows how powerful this is, and he might use some aspects of it. And at whatever point we understand the will of God is we should cut off something that's there, we need to be willing to cut it off. Even if we've always had it and we've learned to lean on it, we might have to backpedal. And let's be ready to do that, because God wants us to be faithful. And in eternity, we will never be sorry having been faithful. May the Lord bless.